This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello and welcome back to the Tomahawk Take podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me as always is Alan.
Good opening weekend all.
And Fred.
Hi, we're a 5 club again.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we'll get up over 500 and stay there earlier this season than last year. But it is opening week. Games are underway. The Braves are at home to start the year, and it only took a lockout to make that happen. But the World Series champions are currently enjoying Champions Weekend at Truist Park. They're going to be giving out the rings on Saturday, which is when we are recording this. And you can get your own replica ring on Monday as well. And after seeing these bad boys, I kind of want to drive back to Atlanta and get one of them. They look really nice. I love the pearl they put on there for Jock Peterson. I thought that was great. So it's been a very fun weekend. I was fortunate enough to be there for opening day, or I say fortunate, at least until about the third inning when it became very cold out there and the Braves fell behind to the Reds and ultimately lost that game 6-3. But they bounced back on Friday night with Charlie Morton on the mound and pick up the 7-6 victory. Became a lot closer than it should have been. So the Braves are now 1-1 on the season. Got two more with the Reds and then three at home with the Nationals before going on a West Coast trip. But Alan, your overall impressions through the first two games of the season for the Braves?
First game looked like they were kind of, in terms of the offense, not really with it there. And that was, of course, reflected in the offensive output and the score. I have been very impressed, though, with what I've been seeing with Austin and Riley. And I'm kind of hoping this might be a precursor to yet another breakout level for him, because he's seeing a lot more pitches. He's spitting on pitches that he shouldn't be chasing, even more so than last year. And, you know, we had a slow start for him last year, but he came on like gangbusters and he's picking up right where he left off. So I'm very pleased to see what he's been doing so far. Matt Olson looks like he's got his offense going now, and I'm happy to see that going. Of course, now we just need to get the rest of the lineup in the middle as well to support those two guys. And then if that happens, we could get on a good run here. But I think that the team may not have been prepared real well for what Bailey was throwing from Cincinnati on Thursday, but Cincinnati's pitching is not that deep, and I think they should be able to sweep the rest of the series.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I was at that Thursday game. The Braves hit a lot of balls really hard in that game. You know, two in particular by Marcell Ozuna that were absolutely crushed, another one by Travis d'Arnaud and one by Alex Dickerson, four balls I can think of on Thursday that we're hit really hard, and I think on a lot of days, especially when it warms up, I think those are hits, if not home runs. So a little bit of unfortunate on Thursday, and really it just seems like the Reds are getting a ton of bloop hits in these first couple of games. And you have to credit them for putting the ball in play and, you know, beating the shift and going where the defense isn't. So I'm not trying to discredit anything there, but it seems like there's been a lot of that in these first two games. But Fred, give me some of your takeaways from the Braves' first two games of the season.
Well, I thought Riley looked like a different player this year. I mean, I agree with everything Alan said about Riley. I think he looks like a different player this year. I think he has a bigger presence. I think hitting in the third position, when he comes to the plate in the third position, he looks like a different player when he walks up there. And I don't know whether that's just building on the confidence from last year or working on stuff over the winter, but it just, before he got in the batter's box, I said, he looks different. And then I really am impressed with that. And maybe he's going to make two or three steps forward and take over this team. And then I was real happy on the second game to see Matt Olson slapping the ball all over the outfield. My wife said, man, he's got this really strange swing. And I said, yeah, he does, but he hit 39 homers with it last year. I think it works. I thought it worked pretty well with Olson and Riley there. Ozuna didn't do anything. Ozzie hasn't yet become the guy. I still don't like Ozzie leading off in most circumstance, almost any circumstance, because I just don't think that's his place. But especially hitting left-handed, I hate to say that, but especially hitting left-handed, I just think, you know, I'd rather see him batting ninth in this particular lineup, because that would mean that we have a guy who can get on ahead of Ronnie when he comes back and things like that. But I really liked the way the group worked and played. I thought Max pitched a lot better than people give him credit for. Nobody really hit him hard, and he was really in the game all the way through it. So I was real happy with what I saw, and I thought it was a great game. Actually, just a shame to lose last night. We have to remember that the Reds pitching isn't great, and we're going to get a couple of kids we've never seen. It was good to see him smacking the ball around. That gives him confidence, and it was just pretty good all the way around.
Yeah, it was, and I think we're kind of on the same page, all three of us, with, you know, Austin Riley and Matt Olson, you know, kind of stealing the show for offensive side of things thus far. You know, Austin had all the hits on Thursday. I think he had 3 hits on Thursday and 2 walks on Friday. Olson had 2 walks on Thursday and 3 hits on Friday. So those two definitely picking up the slack offensively at the moment. And you both have mentioned it. The biggest takeaway for me so far in 2 games, and it's 2 games, is just the quality of at-bats by Austin Riley. That third inning walk to lead off that inning, he took a 3-2 slider just off the plate outside, a pitch that really could have gone either way. The San Martin for the Reds was kind of all over the place, so he's not going to get that call. But he laid off a couple of those tough sliders, you know, diving away from him. And that's the pitch that's given him problems in the past. So really great to see him building, continuing what we saw last year and carrying it into this season. I think that does hopefully speak for a big year to come for Austin Riley, another big year to come for him. So that's been the most impressive thing for me so far on the offensive side of things. You both also mentioned it as well. I think Max Fried and Charlie Morton both looked great. I think Fried kind of stumbled a little bit in that third inning on Thursday night, lost his control there for a minute. Reds got a couple of bloop hits, got a couple of hard hits, and he was actually lucky to only give up 2 runs in that inning. And then I thought he settled down and was Max Fried. And from that point on, gave up a couple of more kind of soft hits in that 6th inning. Hindsight is what it is, but I wanted him to at least face Drury and then bring in McHugh for the top of the lineup, but didn't happen. Drury hit that 3-run homer. Max gets charged for those 2 runs that were on base, and that was pretty much the game on Thursday night. One other highlight before we get into some negatives from the first couple of games. Alan, the other big highlight from Thursday night was Spencer Strider. And boy, was that fun to watch for a game that had kind of gotten out of hand a little bit. I mean, it was 6-1 and then it was 6-3 when Riley hit the home run later. But before that, Spencer Strider really made things fun for Braves fans who were still at the game or watching on TV, just blowing people by with 100-mile-per-hour fastballs.
Yeah, we can't miss this because you're absolutely right. If anybody was questioning whether he should have been in the opening day lineup, you got to see exactly what the Braves were thinking, because he came in and overmatched a bunch of Reds hitters real quick. The knock on him has been, well, he's only got really one pitch or so, or can't do his command very well. He had all that going, and really the Reds had no shot. that was impressive. He did 2 innings, and that's also a nice thing to see, because he can come out of the bullpen and restore order quick if he continues this. And he didn't look like he was really stressing. This was not a max effort set of pitches either. So I was real happy to see that, real impressed at how it came off.
Yeah, Fred, I don't know what you do with Spencer Strider right now. I think the kid has so much potential, and I think we see what he could be as a bullpen arm, where I think, you know, that's his floor. I think his floor is a dominant reliever like we saw on Thursday. But I think you kind of still have to see what he could do as a starter. Can he develop a third pitch, and can he do this for five or six innings?
Yeah, I don't know. The word is already all around the league that when Strider comes to the mound, you better come in and start to swing before you get out of the dugout, because he's going to blow it past you. He's scared of nobody. Nobody at all. They've got to make him, try to make him a starter, because that's why they signed him. He, in the old days, you would get a guy come up in the bullpen one year and he'd pitch sort of off and on in the bullpen, and the next year he'd be the starter. And they tried that a couple of times, but in today's game, you can ruin a pitcher real fast by making him a two inning pitcher for a whole season. And I just think, like you said, I agree that his ceiling is so high. That, I mean, he's at his floor now, and he's striking out major leaguers just one after the other without a problem. So I think they've got to send him back at some point and let him stretch him out and get him going, and maybe we'll see him later in the season do that. But boy, he was lights out last Thursday night. He was awesome. Everybody was just clicking, and it was just, they didn't care what they were losing the game. That Strider just lit everybody up.
Yeah, because the air went out of that stadium when Drury hit that home run. But Spencer Strider came in, and he brought some joy to a game that, like I said, most people thought was over at that point. But I was surprised to see him make the opening day roster, and I thought he wouldn't, just because I want to see him continue to get stretched out as a starter, because I just think he has a high ceiling there. And now that you see him as a reliever, a multi-inning reliever like this, it's going to be hard to send him back down, but I still think that is the right decision long term for his career and for the Braves, to at least give him that chance to try to become a starter. Because if he finds that third pitch and he can continue this velocity deep into games, he's going to be a top of the rotation type arm. He has that potential, so you can't just give up on that. But to your point, Fred, it can sometimes be difficult when you have a guy like this and you make him a two-inning reliever and you let him do that over the year and then try to transition to being a starter, it can mess him up a little bit. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the Braves decide to do with him. I do think he gets sent back down likely when rosters are brought back to 26, I would think, unless there's just more injuries to the bullpen. But enjoy it while he's here, at least, because it's a lot of fun to watch. Let's turn to some of the negatives from the first couple of games, and let's talk about that bullpen, because it's been a rough introduction for some of the new bullpen toys that Brian Snicker has to use. I mentioned the home run that Drury hit on Thursday night. That was off Colin McHugh, the first batter that he faced. He gives up a three-run homer. And then on Friday, Kenley Jansen comes in a non-save situation in a 7-3 game. He walks the batter, gives up a couple of soft hits, and next thing you know, it's a 7-6 game. So, Alan, I don't think, obviously not hitting the panic button after one outing for both of these guys, but certainly not the introductions that they were hoping for with Atlanta fans.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to watch there for a bit. Even A.J. Minter didn't exactly do very well. But I guess at this point, we're going to have to chalk it up to first game jitters kind of a thing. That didn't affect everybody. Tyler Matzek was excellent. Obviously, we've talked about Strider and his appearance. Thornburg, Will Smith all did well. It was Jansen, Minter, and McHugh, though, that kind of, I guess gone against the narrative a little bit and not been the lights out guys that we were hoping to see. But at this point, I'm not going to go too far with the criticism, because it's, a different world out there. And to the cases here, Jansen and McHugh, it is first game, first time in Atlanta, team they've wanted to be with, and now they're there, and now they've got to do their thing. And so, it was kind of like an all eyes on them situation. Maybe McHugh might have been not necessarily the right guy to put in that particular situation, but Jansen certainly had a clean inning in front of him and a big lead. And I don't know, maybe that's also part of the deal, where a closer wants to have the game on the line, really. And if it's not a safe situation, he comes in with a slightly different mentality. So whatever excuse you want to use, let's take one and then use it this weekend, get his mulligan, and next week we'll expect better things.
Yeah, that's the worst outing that Jansen has of the year. I think we'll be okay. But, Fred, anything you see from either of those that kind of has you worried? Again, one outing, not hitting the panic button or anything, but, well, you know, your just thoughts on those two so far.
It was cold. You were at the game, Jake.
It was cold, freezing.
And McHugh needs touch. He needs to touch and feel that ball to make it dip and dive. Same with Mitter, really. He needs to be able to feel that ball to have control of it. And that's what my wife would say, boy, Jansen came in and he doesn't look very good. I said, first game and it's cold and Newtown and game's not on the line. As Alan said, I'm not worried about them. Those guys know how to pitch. I think they'll be fine. I haven't worried about any of the pitchers I've seen from us yet. Mitter was a little shaky. Jansen was a little shaky. McHugh came in. I really think the cold weather bothered him more than anything else. But I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything that worries me out of the bullpen yet. The outfield's a different story. But the bullpen, I think, is fine.
Yeah, you can talk about that outfit a little bit more, Fred. It is rough to watch. And I was there on Thursday. And, you know, I don't know that a average defensive outfielder gets to some of these balls. But, I mean, there's just some of these that are landing in front of Ozuna and Rosario that I'm thinking, man, could they not get there a little bit sooner? You know, maybe not even to catch them, but to get the ball back in quicker to keep the runner from taking an extra base. So you're right, Fred, this outfield, it looks a little rough. And we knew that coming in, especially until Acuna gets back. But it's going to cost us some runs here and there.
Yeah, I think the difference is Rosario's really a left fielder. He's not a right fielder. And he just, because he didn't really have the arm for that. And Ozuna should really DH. And I don't know why, if we're going to DH Arcia or somebody like that, we don't put Heredia in there and let him catch the balls in center field and move Duval to right and Heredia or Rosario to left and play him like that. I don't see the logic in this because we know that Ozuna is not going to catch him. He's got his throw from the outfield was 77 miles an hour, folks. I can throw 77 miles an hour, and that's damn near my age. So I really think that you have just give him the DH role and tell him to forget where his glove is, and we'll put somebody out there who can catch the ball, even if it's our latest signing, the Lionel DeShields Jr. Really? Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's got a DH.
Yeah, I don't understand it, Al. I don't know why, if you're going to put these guys in here at DH who are at least more athletic, they can catch a ball, put them in the outfield and stick Ozuna at DH. He doesn't need to be in the field any longer.
Well, this is going to be the kind of thing that we've been talking about a while now is the outfield defense. And right now they are kind of patching it together until Acuna shows up, and that's probably not going to be till first or second week of May, I'm guessing. But right now, it's going to be what it is. Now, I would like personally to see Dickerson out there. Rosario's sort of adequate, but we've already seen an instance where Ozuna's arm got run on, and even if he can catch the ball, he certainly can't throw it. So, I don't know. It's what they put together, and at the moment they've decided to prioritize offense over defense, and we'll have to just bear with it, and hopefully it doesn't hurt this team too badly.
Last thing we'll talk about on the negative side is that Dansby Swanson has not looked great to start the year, for sure. And particularly Thursday night, man, it's not just the fact that, you know, he's not getting hits, and it's two games. Alan, he just doesn't look comfortable at the plate, and he looks kind of lost up there, as he can be at times throughout the season. I know he'll get at a hot stretch at some point, but, you know, in a contract year for him, trying to prove that he wants to be the shortstop of the future here in Atlanta, you know, very important for him, I think, to get off to a good start, and that just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, if he wants to have a job next year with anybody, he better get things going. Now, I do think he will get things going, but here's a guy who said in spring training early and in one batting practice session, I'm ready, let's go. Well, he wasn't ready, and he's not going. He only batted about 207 during spring and really looked overmatched in the first game by what Mailey was throwing at him. Yeah, it was better second game. Yes, he took a couple of walks. He recognized that the pitcher was in trouble in that game and waited for something to hit. But then he was also missing pitches too. So something is definitely out of sync with him, and he's not looking good, and it may take a few days to get back on track. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if he got a day off in the next few days of this homestand just to sort of clear his head perhaps and get things back together, because we've got a road trip coming up to the West Coast with San Diego and LA involved, and he's going to need to be an asset, not a liability. Right now, that's not the case.
All right, kind of turning the page a little bit, looking forward to the rest of this homestand. I'm really excited about this game on Saturday. Yeah, we may not get this posted before that, but I'm really curious to see what Cal Wright is going to do, what he will look like. Really hoping it's the Cal Wright we saw in the World Series. And if that's the case, I think we're in for, you know, a big year with him. But I'm going to be glued in. I'm glued in anyway, but especially when Kyle Wright takes the mound, I'll be watching his every pitch. Just, I want to see that confidence from him, using that sinker in the zone, creating weak contact, not falling behind hitters, but rather getting ahead. That's what I'm looking forward to with him. And then Ian Anderson, you know, his last two starts in spring, you know, weren't great. He got roughed up in one outing, and then he roughed up his toe before the next outing and was never able to really go deep. So I'm curious as to how many pitches he'll be able to throw on Sunday when the Braves go up against Hunter Green, who can touch 104 miles per hour. That'll be an interesting game as well. And then they wrap up the homestand against the Nationals with Waskari Noah on Monday. We don't know who's starting on Tuesday. I'm guessing it's going to be Tucker Davidson. And then you'll have Max Fried back on the mound for an afternoon game on Wednesday before heading out west for the Dodgers, Padres and Dodgers, like Alan said. So, Fred, I'll go to you first. Kind of your thoughts, kind of previewing the rest of this homestand and what you're looking forward to seeing.
Well, I want to see Kyle Wright do well. I watched him this spring. He looked a lot better. If we see the guy from spring training early, we'll be fine. He falls into a 3-4 starter this year. That's perfectly good for us. I'm not high on Yanoa. I think he belongs in the bullpen, but I don't think he'll have much trouble against the Nationals team. And what we need to do is make sure everybody's wearing body armor before they go out there for that game. I want to point out something about the game Thursday night. Everybody screamed about Dansby, and he was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Adam Duvall was 0-for-3 with a walk and 3 strikeouts. Travis d'Arnaud was 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. Marcelo Ozuna was 0-for-3 and with a walk. Yeah, there was a lot of offers in that game. And people picked on Dansby because they like to pick on Dansby. And I know he didn't look good at the batter's box, but Dickerson didn't look good in the batter's box. None of them really looked really great Thursday, except the guys at the top, very top of the order who were lacing the ball all over the place. I get off the Dansby hate, fellas. Give him a chance. It's cold. It's the first game of the season. And he wasn't really much worse than anybody else out there. And I think the game's going to be fun. Seeing Hunter Green's going to be fun, seeing if we can put a bat on 104 miles an hour and if he can keep it in the strike zone. I don't know if they might just jiggle the rotation a little bit to make sure Max gets to pitch early out west or not. I'd really like to see the Dodgers rather than against the Nats, but maybe they won't do that this early in the year. I just think you want to beat the Dodgers, you want Max on the hill.
Yeah, we'll see if they change that up a little bit, but again, it's too early in the season. I don't know that they would do that. And, you know, you don't really want to give him any more rest. I don't think we're already looking at, you know, 5 days rest, but I am excited about that Hunter Green start on Sunday. I think that could be a lot of fun. Maybe not for the Braves hitters, but be neat to see him go up against the Braves. But Alan, your thoughts as we kind of preview the upcoming week ahead?
Yeah, with the 14 games in a row, extra rest is going to be pretty much at a premium right now, because I imagine there will be a bullpen game thrown in there somewhere along the way against the Nationals would make sense. Well, let's see how they want to play it. As far as Kyle Wright goes, the only concern I have is all these people saying, wow, Kyle Wright looks really good. He's going to have a breakout year, and maybe hopefully he's not listening to all these things, because those kind of things create pressure on a player, and we don't need any extra pressure right now on him. He just needs to go out and do what he's been doing, and hopefully his confidence is real, and then he does in fact perform up to his expectations. But I do have some concern with everybody picking him as a breakout candidate here. But at the same time, the Braves do need one in the rotation, because they do need somebody to step up and be that fourth guy. Teams can always make a fifth spot right, but having a fourth and fifth part of the rotation that's a little iffy is a trial, and the Braves have actually had to go through that in the last couple of years. But I do want to see what he can do, and certainly we know what he can do. The trick is going to be making that happen. And frankly, this Cincinnati lineup is not exactly a pushover. Even as everything was going on with them selling off assets over the winter, they've still retained a pretty good offense. Their pitching is what's kind of iffy, except for the top one or two guys. But they're not a pushover, so they might still make some noise in the NL Central here. But it's going to give Kyle Wright an interesting challenge tonight.
All right, and Fred, before we get out of here, any final thoughts from you?
I just want to see them continue to keep their head in the game and not worry about this. The ceremonies and everything, I think, get on top of emotion around those ceremonies, the flag ceremony, the announcements, the Silver Slugger Awards, the Gold Gloves. Yay, Max, Silver Slugger, last pitcher in to ever get one. I love that. I like the ring ceremonies and all of that stuff. But I just want them to, it's hard to get that out of your mind when you're out there. Man, we just had the rings. What? The ball went right by me in the outfield. So I just want them to forget that and get on with playing the game. You don't want Dickerson in the outfield. He has less range than Ozuna.
That doesn't seem possible.
I know it doesn't, but it's pretty much that away.
Maybe we could put them right together, and Dick and Ozuna can catch it, and then have Dickerson throw it.
Yeah. Okay. We can hit the designated thrower.
Yeah.
Don't tell Manfred. We'll have it next year. I keep living in hope that Kevin Pillar will not want to be in Oklahoma City for very long, and he'll exercise his opt out, and we can grab him for that and stick him until we get Ronnie back. Of course, that's probably a fantasy, or maybe a gas pain, but that's sort of what I got.
All right, Alan, any last words from you?
I do think the outfield is going to continue to be a problem. I think that we're going to have to just sort of endure it and hope we can get past it. We do have a stable of pitchers who specialize in weak contact and mostly ground balls in theory. Cincinnati has managed to get some of these things over the infielders' heads, and that has helped to help them get some runs. But if we can keep the ball in the infield, we should be able to mitigate the damage.
All right. And baseball is back. So enjoy the games this week and throughout the season. Make sure that you're following us all on TomahawkTake.com. We'll have a daily recaps and biggest takeaways from every game. Make sure you're following us here on the Tomahawk Take podcast. That will do it for this episode, and we will talk to you next week.
This has been the Just Getting Underway edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, which is a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, celebrating their 15th birthday, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants, as Minute Media is still most likely unaware of anything we're doing. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Five Card Shuffle, which was modified to fit in the available space. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other musical selections used come via rights already purchased by TomahawkTick.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and may your souvenir rings make your non-Braves fans extremely jealous. See you next time.